Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Sedona Connection. I want to thank you for joining us here tonight. It's July 1st. It's 6 p.m. here in my home in Sedona, Arizona. It's also the same time on the West Coast. It's 9 p.m. on the East Coast and, well, wherever you are, all around the world. I always want to thank all the people that join us here on the radio program because we do. We get about 15-18% of the listeners are from outside of the United States. And obviously, you know, the main country outside of the United States is Canada, because I can go back and kind of look at all the statistics there, and we see everybody is where you come from all around the world. We all want to thank you very, very much for always joining in on the program. We're kind of moving in a little bit of a new direction, as I mentioned in the last couple of weeks, is because, you know, it's just kind of putting that whole RVGCR thing on hold for a little bit because it's on hold. And so where do we go from here? Well, a lot of it is the things I want to do in bringing the program is it's about empowerment of you, and predominantly around financial issues. I get to bring some, I have a background of that. I have a background in banking finance. I've been a market trader, a part-time market trader for about 18 years, so I think I have a good understanding of economic issues and what's happening, what's developing. I'm not going to discuss a lot of what I would call just chatter issues. The chatter issues would be like, well, this week, you know, Greece decided to basically go ahead and not follow through and pay in their debt to the IMF, and they may end up being falling out of the European Economic Union. That's chatter to me. That's stuff that you can do your own research on. You can watch and follow yourself. And in chatter stuff, it's nice, but what does it really come down to you and me and our lives, and how do we empower ourselves to become better people, stronger people, and to become help wake others up? I think that's going to be the focus and the direction of this program. I also, as you know, carry a very strong relationship with the ambassador of the Dragon family. It's an ongoing relationship that I've had with him for close to a year now. It's very, very good that we've had. We talk 2 to 3 times per week. I don't talk with him as much as I used to, well, because I don't need to. And he's a very, very busy person. But I do want to make a couple announcements about that. He's been appearing on a number of other programs in the last week and a half. He was on Alfred Weber's program. He was interviewed by Rob Potter. I think that's supposed to be showing up in the next day or two. He had a program that appeared again yesterday with Kev Baker again. He was on with Ron Van Dyke again. And then also he does his interviews with the True Vision of Peace through Radagast, who's one of the team members there. So that's where he is. And having said that, tentatively, he's going to be my guest next week. Not certain yet whether I'm going to have him live or it will be mostly a pre-recorded program, but it's a little tough for him to come on live because he lives in Europe. And if he comes on live, it means he's with us in the middle of the night. But we'll see. I'll talk with him about that in the next couple of days to see whether or not he'll be live or to be a pre-recording next week, but tentatively he's going to be the guest next week. And there's one other thing I need to say. Well, today's July 1st, and you want to know what that means? Well, I need to say happy birthday to my absolute wonderful daughter, Carissa. Today's her birthday, and I didn't really ask her this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. She's 32 years old today. She lives in just outside of Madras, Oregon. She has lived there in Oregon ever since she left high school. Went down to Oregon, and from where we lived up in the Seattle area, and went to college down there, worked a job, and then went and got her master's degree. And what she does now, she's a professional counselor for a local community health with troubled teenagers. She loves her job. And more than that, though, she is also an avid, avid horse person, if that's the correct term to use. I think she has 4 now horses of her own, very professional. She trains horses, she gives lessons, she's very, very good at what she does. And she has a small kind of a farm of her own just outside of Madras, Oregon, and where she has her horses there and does her job. And so, Carissa, my dear, love you very much. I just want to say happy birthday, and I'm sure everybody else here is wishing. So, well, one other announcement. It was last week, no, 2 weeks ago, that Charla had a guest on her program. Her name is Rebecca Roth, and she has become the raving new talk of her new book that has come out. It's called Methodical Illusion. Rebecca is a retired flight attendant, just as Charla was, and she knew from the professional expertise of what went on at 9/11 that there was just a ton of stuff that wasn't correct, wasn't right, protocols weren't followed, and it was just plain flat out obviously something else was going on. Well, she's done a ton of research around what happened at 9/11. And instead of writing a book on it directly, she turned it into a novel. And, man, I thought, it's one of those page-turners. I read the whole book in 2 days. I finished it last night. Absolutely wonderful book. And tomorrow, I will be having a conversation with her tomorrow, and we can also anticipate that in the near future she's going to be one of the guests here on my radio program as well. And with that, I say, well, you know, Charla had her on as the guest on her program a couple of weeks ago. And with that, I just want to bring Charla here on the air, and she can say hi to everybody and just kind of make a couple announcements on her own. Charla, how are you doing here tonight, my dear?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous. It's a choice. Always fabulous. So
absolutely.
Yeah. I'm here in Fort Worth, and all's well, nice and sunny and toasty, and I love it. So, yeah, Rebecca Roth was amazing. I had received her book and read it and just felt like I needed to know her. And there was a lot of other little connections that just seemed, so I reached out to her and we discussed it. And she's actually been on my, she was on my show last week on the Charla Awakened show. If you want to take a look at the Charla A.com. Everything I do is going to, even though some things are slow to update because of me, but CharlaA.com, and go to the My Show page, and we should have, there should be a link for her show from last week on there. Rebecca, and that's with a K, R-E-B-E-K-A-H, and the book is Methodical Illusion, singular, and you can go to methodicalillusion.com to get that book. Highly, highly, highly recommend it because it's in a novel form and it's helping people wake up.
You know, that's so, really interesting because, you know, what we've talked about, you know, I talk about at the workshops and you and I have discussed is if you really want to help people wake up, one of the best topics that you can use is the reality of what happened in 9/11. And this book, I think, is going to be an absolute masterpiece in a tool in helping people wake up. Because even in the book, Rebecca herself talks about what is called cognitive dissonance, which means the shock of the truth sometimes can be so shocking to you that you just kind of either bury your head in the sand or you don't want to face into it, you don't want to look into it. You know something wasn't quite right. But that becomes a form of denial. And when people are kind of in that position, a book like this, that's in a novel, is an excellent way to help introduce them into what really happened. And I think this is going to be an absolute powerful tool worldwide in helping people wake up to the truth of what's going on in our world. So, yeah, so anything else, Charla, that you want to mention about that?
Well, yeah, Rebecca Roth really encouraged the book, and we'll probably have her back on again. Her second book will be out in August, hopefully. She wanted it out before the September anniversary of 9/11, and that's coming out. She's got over a terabyte of truth, of Freedom of Information Act information that she's basing the next novel, and has found other live eyewitnesses anyway. So enough about that, but it's really intriguing for me. And then, of course, my show is the Charla Awakened Show for such a time as this. And my job is to help people wake up, but to transition from the old 3D world into the new paradigm, that's a shift, these things that are happening, the truth, actually the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we're working through that paradigm. But on my show, I'm usually attracting guests and listeners that want to know a little bit more what's going on in the world. Well, one of your friends and one of my friends, and is probably instrumental in our relationship, actually, knowing each other, Bob Dadalay is going to be my guest tomorrow. Bob Dadalay, and he is he's a master at feng shui, but the point for me in the waking up process is it's the clearing of stuff to make room for what you want. And I really am excited to have him as my guest. He lives in the Fort Worth area as well, and he has been greatly instrumental in helping at both of your workshops and my guest conference with the sound system and just being a really team partner to get this stuff done and going, and really powerful on that. So
Absolutely wonderful man. Oh, he's probably listening here tonight. I know he has, called in on a couple of times. And Bob, Charlotte and I just want to say thank you so much. That turned into a good friend. You're an absolute helpful support. And, yeah, he was pretty much the person that was instrumental in getting us connected in so many words. So,
absolutely, because we posted your radio show in January 8th of 2014 when I was just, had found out about this weird currency stuff, and then I heard your voice of reason in there.
You're cutting out on your phone there.
Okay, sorry. He helped us connect.
Oh boy, it says that we got a little bit of an internet connection problem here. So let's see what's going to happen here. I think we're back.
I can hear you.
There you are. Okay, yeah. We were going to, All right, go ahead. You were cutting out there for a little bit.
Okay. Sorry about that. And, I can hear you, could hear you fine the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, Bob sent out your radio show, that Voice of Reason, when that crazy Bernard Dong conversation showed up in my life, and it just and that opened a lot of doors for us. And he's a member of the HEB Chamber of Commerce, where I had been a member as well. So really, we're excited to get to hear his take on how to clear your spaces and draw in, and in the law of attraction, draw in what you want. So that's the conversation tomorrow at noon to 1 Central Time on RadioStarWorldwide.com. Or go to charlotteA.com, my show, and it has listening instructions. So for that part of this, I think that'll do it. Really looking forward to hearing from David Fairmont tonight.
Yeah, in fact, what we'll do is I'm going to make a few more and a little bit of announcements here, do an introduction into the program tonight. We're going to bring David on. He's going to explain this Liberty Debt Elimination Program. And then we'll go into answering questions from the callers. And we've already got two callers that are indicating, that they are basically got, shown that they want to come in with some questions. And, Charlotte, whenever you're ready, you could go ahead and head on over to the callers and kind of do some preliminary screening. And in the beginning, you'll have a little more time to chat with them if you'd like to, because I know you love to do that. So, okay?
All righty.
Okay. All righty. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Okay. Well, folks, as Charla has mentioned, and also it's fine, we do this, we do it from kind of different perspectives, but our real goal is helping people wake up. And one of the reasons is because, I absolutely believe that we've got a whole new world that's coming our way. And I just want to do a brief kind of message on that. There's an event that's taking place tonight. I had seen this on a posting on Facebook. And it's what some of the traditionalists say is that there's a reappearing of what is called the Star of Bethlehem tonight. Now, what it really truly is that the planets of Jupiter and Venus up there in the sky are becoming extremely close to each other, to where if you're at the right angle, it almost looks like they're one planet, and they're so close. And they said the last time this happened, an extremely rare event, was 2,000 years ago. And there's a lot of scholars and traditionalists feel that was basically what was the significance of what was called the Star of Bethlehem that had announced the arrival of the coming of the Christ, of Jesus, and his birth that was there. So, but it's a very extremely rare event. It's tonight, supposedly, in the sky, is when it's going to be at its best, and it's supposed to be about 1 hour after it gets dark. And here in Sedona, well, still pretty light out there. But for those folks on the west, on the east coast, it's 9:15. It's probably already dark there. Some of you could step out. If you're basically in the southern part of the United States on the east coast, it's probably dark enough you could step out there. If not, maybe you wait about another half hour, 45 minutes. Those in the northern part of the east coast of the United States, yeah, you'll probably definitely need at least another 45 minutes to an hour. But it's just significant. You wonder, is this going to be the unveiling of what I would call the return of Christ again? Now, there's different interpretations of how people say that, feel that, but it surely is. I just feel like you could just sense it and feel it, that there's something energetically going on in the environment that you can feel things are about ready to break loose. Now, when I say that, it could be tomorrow, it could be another couple months, but it just seems like something that we're feeling that is there. Well, but in tonight's program, what I want to talk about is before things can break loose for us, sometimes we need to free ourselves from some positions that may be somewhat oppressive. And there's few things in our lives that are more oppressive than the debilitating weight of excessive debt. In tonight's program, you can learn how to recapture your self-empowerment to help others and yourself through this totally legal program to completely eliminate your unsecured debt. Money. And if you have seen in the YouTube video that I put out with the newsletter this week, where Michael Tellinger had talked about it, it was basically created about 6,000 years ago from what are called these priest kings. And money has been used as a malicious tool of power and control and enslavement upon the masses. Those that have it have the power and the control, and those that don't are subject to them in different forms of enslavement. Now, it can be total enslavement. It can be an economic enslavement where we look at that 60% of the world's population lives on less than $5 a day. Or it could be us here in the United States that we're enslaved to the point that we have absolutely no freedom to do anything except go work our jobs, come home, pay our bills, and we have very little beyond that. And there's this oppression of an excessive debt that weighs on us. It restricts us. It keeps us in a position where we're not free. And to me, to really help others and to help us in this awakening process, there needs to be what is called a self-empowerment. And one of the best ways you can do that is to empower yourself through the freedom of not having the weight of debt placed upon you. Charla will come back in a little bit. She'll tell her story about what this, how this had worked for her. She had basically had said that she had accumulated a lot of credit card debt. She realized that she had made a mistake. And she was feeling the weight and the oppression of that. And it just didn't feel very good. Because in spite of this, in spite of the fact that she had a good retirement pay account, she was still just barely getting by from month to month. She was in a position where she could barely pay her bills each month. And finances were very tight for her. And it weighs on you. You feel like you want to be free, and you feel like you're trapped. You're trapped in a system. And what she had done, she had been praying for over 2 years for what is called a miraculous debt elimination. And the gentleman that's on the program tonight, his name is David Fairmont, and he had attended one of my workshops last year. He had come up and he had introduced himself to me, and I said, thank you very much. You know, I'm busy, I'm swamped. I say thank you. I've got other people in line, you know, stuff like that. And he said, okay. And I had to admit, I wasn't able to give it the quality attention that I really wanted to. But he had also gone up and introduced himself to Charla. And he gave his business card to her. And he told her a little bit about what he was doing. Well, we were both swamped and very busy. And then all of a sudden, it was in January, a couple months later, She pulled out that card and she goes, huh, maybe this is what I'm looking for. And she called him up. And she went ahead and says, I'm going to try this. And she went ahead and did it. And she didn't tell me about it at first. And then when she did, I had to admit, I was pretty critical. I was really negative. I'm saying, wait a minute, there's been a lot of these scam programs out there around this stuff. You got to be kidding me. This just sounds too good to be true. It doesn't sound real. And I had to admit, I was pretty negative about her. So she came back at me and I said, okay, I'll let it go. And she proceeded to do what she needed to do. And within 3 months, she had 2 Chase Bank credit cards that were totally eliminated, wiped out over $10,000. And she has gotten copies of all 3 of the major credit reporting agencies, and all 3 of them say account closed at the lender's request. Just closed the account. And then the other one was an American Express card and a couple other small little things. And she is now at the point she has eliminated over $23,000 of debt. And you will hear her say, it has been a relief for her. It was like this weight was lifted off of her. And you don't want to know what I am noticing? It was also about the same time that she took a huge, complete shift in how she was viewing herself, how she was feeling about herself, and how she was conducting herself. It's like she stepped into a whole new world of confidence, conviction, bravery, and a sense of clarity about who she is, and what her purpose is, and what her mission is. Debt entraps us. It puts blinders on us. And we can't really see what's going on because it begins to consume us. And what it does, it disempowers us from reaching that point of potential of who we truly are and what we can truly be. And that's why I've brought this program to you. I've brought it to you so that you have the ability to make a choice of something that you may want to do. Now, tonight, David Fairmount and I, we will talk about that this may not be for everybody. We will talk about some areas that this may be something you might not want to do, because in some rare extenuating circumstances, it may not be best for you, because there can be a couple little tiny problems that are there, but for the most part, it's absolutely not a problem. And you're going to hear from David how about 13 years ago, he totally eliminated, wiped out over $50,000 of unsecured credit card debt, has never had any blemishes on his credit report from this, has never had any retaliations or any problems from it ever since, and that he started this program, he developed it, introduced it to others, and in the 13 years, he's been doing this program, his success rate, 100%. So, David, I want to welcome you to the program tonight, my friend. How are you doing? We're absolutely delighted to have you on here to allow you to explain others to this program, what it does for them, your experience in it. So, welcome to the program tonight, my friend. David, how are you doing?
Great. Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Good, 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 good. So thank you so much for having me on the show. Yes.
Absolutely my pleasure.
I feel that it's a great joy to celebrate with you the massively ascending frequencies on the planet right now. And I want to thank you for your spiritual contributions to this unprecedented historic awakening that is taking place, you and Charla and all of your associates. You've been making major contributions yourselves to the new paradigm. And on this show, it's my privilege to be speaking to the shining lights and wayshowers of this new world that is blossoming. I know that a lot of your listeners, Dave, are those who are also doing their part to help uplift the world and to enlighten and to heal and to bring a paradigm shift that will make a better world where there's less corruption or no corruption, ultimately, and where there is a fair and balanced administration of this planet. So there's a beautiful spiraling of blissful convergence of cosmic timelines with timelessness. while we are waiting for the environment to become more favorable for our life-supporting and world-transforming jewels of our being to shine forth into greater public formation, two of the great treasures of knowledge that have come my way have been helping hundreds of people gain greater freedom. While each of us is working towards and waiting for the moment when the administration of global resources is totally in the hands of the light, these two treasures of knowledge have been compassionately liberating people from debts and taxes, which are two of the main wheels of the dark cabal's old disappearing enslavement machine. Those who are free of debts have been liberated from one major burden, and those who are operating free from income tax are liberated from the other. And once having tasted that freedom, once having grown into the maturity of individual sovereignty, endowing one with the wisdom to best handle that freedom, one never turns back. It is incomparable. So it's a great joy to share with you that only good has been coming from this. The freedom from debts knowledge shows how people are very easily becoming 100% legally free of all credit card debt and unsecured debt in the United States, quickly and inexpensively. And the freedom from taxes knowledge shares information on the best tax-exempt asset protection instruments for peaceful people in countries all over the world. For those who are wondering, the debt cancellation has two qualifications. One is we only are addressing the unsecured debts, which means debts that are signature loans only, credit cards, signature lines of credit, that sort of thing. In other words, not backed by collateral that you may have pledged, such as a house or a boat or a plane or a car. In other words, there's no asset they can come and take from you if you don't pay it back. But they could sue, and they could sue you and perhaps garnish wages or try to come after money in your bank if you don't pay it without using our system. If you do use our system, then it makes it next to impossible for them to win against you, because we have an undefeatable, you might say, argument that we give you to send to what we call the pretender lenders. So these two wheels of the dark cabal enslavement mechanisms have been debts and taxes, and these are the areas in which we're developing more freedom. And if we can spread this to thousands more people, we will have made a major contribution to the awakening of America and countries all over the world. We'll start with debts. We call it the Liberty Credit Card Debt Cancellation System. And the website for it is the SedonaConnection.wordpress.com. That's Dave Schmidt's website, the SedonaConnection.wordpress.com.
Yeah, yes. You don't have to put WordPress in there. It can be just thesedonaconnection.com.
Great. Well, I notice it forwards to that. But, yes, okay, thesedonaconnection.com.
Right.
Okay. Thesedonaconnection.com. And then just under the header photo of the beautiful red rocks, click where it says Liberty Debt Elimination Program and the House of Freedom Common Law Trust. So either Dave or I will repeat the address later in this talk. And please note that the Liberty Debt Cancellation System is only for credit cards and unsecured debts issued by United States banks and institutions. Cards and debts issued by banks in other countries should be able to have their debts canceled as well using similar methods, because they have the same scam running in the banking systems pretty much all throughout the world. But the Liberty System is written on United States laws, so it's only applicable for debts issued by institutions in United States.
David, let me just interject there, and it says, because I've already had some people saying, hey, I live in Canada, does this apply to me? And the key is, yes, you can live in another country if your credit card is based in a United States financial institution. Otherwise,
exactly,
you will have to develop to the laws within your own country. The key is, where is the creditor, the lender located, and it has to be a United States-based financial institution.
Well, for my American friends, please be patient for one more sentence or two while I address our friends in other countries, because I want to address this has risen many, 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 many times. Even in the last few days, I'm getting a lot of emails, help desk tickets is what we have from our website. asking, I live in Canada, I live in other countries, can this work here? Well, it's already answered in our frequently asked questions, so if you just scroll down about halfway down, you'll see the answer. However, there is another part of the answer I want to share on the air, and that is, and I've said this to every, or most, let's say, people from other countries have asked this, find a lawyer, a paralegal, or someone who knows the law in your country who can locate the equivalent laws that apply in your country to the documents that we provide from the United States. Okay, so you'd first acquire the Liberty Debt Cancellation System for $450, then you could organize to hire or locate someone who will do it for free or inexpensively or whatever you have to do. All you have to do is know how to find the laws that say basically the same things, because there's more or less a same or similar system throughout the world. I'll share a little story with you. A friend of mine is Eddie Kahn. Eddie Kahn is a former police officer from Texas who lived in Florida and was helping people defeat the IRS and the corrupt and fraudulent income tax. He went to New Zealand and Australia on invitation of some of my friends over there, and they were astounded when he went into their law libraries and pinpointed laws that were almost identical to what's in the United States. And he found the same kinds of protections there against the income tax as we have here. In other words, the same rights, the same freedom to be free of that as we do over here. So the same principle would apply for debts as well, because we have the fiat currency, the central banks, the money out of thin air mechanism operating pretty much worldwide. Now, you may be wondering, how do we justify canceling the credit card debt? $50,000, $100,000, $7,000, whatever it is you have on Visas, MasterCards, Discover, American Express. If it's any kind of loan issued under the Federal Reserve System where the bank or the lending institution or the financial entity basically materialized this so-called credit and you don't know where it came from. In other words, it's not a loan from your mother that came out of her bank account or out of her little stash of currency. That would be a real loan, and it should be repaid ethically and perhaps even legally. But loans from these institutions do not disclose where they get the money, do they? So that's why I recommend for everyone to read the book, Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin. In that, it tells the story of the banking system, starting with the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Warburgs and the Federal Reserve founding, and it goes back even centuries before that and shows how Rothschild said in the 1700s, give me control of a nation's currency and I care not who makes its laws. And ever since then, the world has moved towards a fiat monetary system, although in recent time, we have a couple of years ago, Basel III. For those who are familiar, there is the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, which is the central bank of all central banks. And that bank basically has accords. They have agreements from international meetings. And because of the rise of world consciousness, the shifts of the ages, the times are changing, a new paradigm is being entered, everyone is fed up and disgusted with the old fiat monetary system. It's been causing debts and problems everywhere. And they finally decided, okay, the leadership got wise and said, we need to shift the entire world to a new system, from a debt-based system to an asset-based system. And throughout history, whenever there's been an asset-based system, such as gold or other assets, and the money's based on that, the economy was sound, people were happy, people had good jobs, good businesses, prosperity, there was stability, things went well. And whenever there was a fiat or a debt-based system, of course, everything got concentrated into the hands of the few at the expense of the many, and everything collapsed under that. So Basel III, which mandated that all countries adopt an asset-based monetary system, gave until early 2015 for it to be in place. And in fact, we are informed that it has happened, even in the United States, behind the scenes, and that there is a power change, a shift taking place in the ownership, the control, and the management of our Fed, our Federal Reserve. So there should be a time coming soon when there are no more debts anywhere on this planet, any more institutional debts. Even the Pope has been saying that a debt jubilee needs to happen. So we are in tune with the times. And Dave, in a way, I kind of look forward to the day when this aspect of my service to society is finished. You know, I'm out of business, but I'll just say I won't need to help people cancel debts anymore because it'll be done. It'll be done globally. But until then, people are drowning in debt. People are struggling. Yeah. People are not able to put enough food or gas. They're not able to feed their families or able to pay their bills. They're living in substandard lifestyles, not able to afford the medicines they need or the breaks from work that they need, not able to be in the kind of work they need. They're drowning in debt. They don't know what to do. The other debt cancellation programs out there mostly are not cancellation. They're consolidation, reduction, negotiation, and they're expensive. They generally run $2,000, $3,000 and up. And they don't even cancel 100% of your debt. The best they do is they reduce it down maybe 30%, 40%, 50%. And I have heard stories that are horrible of the people. It's a battle. It drags on for months, maybe even a couple of years. There's tons of paperwork, lots of arguments going back and forth. And it's like dealing with vultures when they're hungry, or any other hungry animal, and you're the dinner, you know, and you're trying to protect yourself. So it's horrible. And we have a much greater success with a much less expensive program, only $450 one time, and it's quicker, it's easier, and it's complete. 100% of the debt is canceled, and we have 100% success rate going back 13 years. Why are we so successful where the others are not? The reason is that we attack it right at the heart. We go right to the foundation, right to the heart, right to the essence of what the Fed has done. We challenge the so-called lender to prove that a loan was really made. How much simpler can you get than that? We actually ask them under various laws to show that money actually came out of their accounts. And if they can show that, we'll be happy to repay the loan. Because if money really did come out of their accounts, okay, let's say you got a $10,000 line of credit, or you have a $5,000 credit card. You probably assumed, unless you read The Creature from Jekyll Island, that they had so many millions in their bank account, and they actually deducted that amount from their balance and loaned it to you. That is not what happens. It has never happened. Rather, it's like writing it on a napkin. It's just created out of thin air. It's like just entries on a computer keyboard, and it's called the Mandrake mechanism, as described in the book. So that's fraud because it violates lending laws. And we quote the laws in the documents that we have you send. So there is basically four pages. It's very simple. A three-page letter, a one-page affidavit. We have you send that to the president or the CEO or CFO of the pretender lender institution. And it challenges them to prove what they cannot prove. So generally what happens is they'll try to ignore your correspondence the first time, perhaps the second time, maybe the third time. You'll have to send it several times because they have a robotic, unconscious system. These executives are probably out on the golf course. They couldn't care less. They have all their employees with form letters to send and to start trying to say that your payments are late. But if you keep repeating this process, eventually it makes it through their system and they let you go. They write it off. They let you go because they have millions of easier pickings to go after, and they have no defense to what you're alleging. You're alleging that they didn't loan anything, and therefore they're not being harmed by your not paying it back. Now, you may ask, well, I got good goods and services. You know, I bought a car, I bought groceries, I bought gas, I went to the beauty salon or the barber or the doctor, and I paid on my credit card for these things, and they deserve to be paid. Absolutely. I totally agree, and they did get paid, didn't they?
Yes.
They got paid. How? They got paid by the system which issues money under the House Joint Resolution 192 of June 5, 1933, which converted our gold-backed monetary system to a system backed by our bodies, our labor, and our property. So our monetary system is based on the collective credit of the American people. Therefore, it is good money, even though the mafia syndicate, you might say international crime syndicate, posing as bankers, inserted themselves into the middle of the transaction and are trying to extract their cut on every transaction. They're getting a free gravy train of payments from millions and millions and millions and millions of people who erroneously believe that they actually gave them something of value when they gave nothing. That's what we're challenging. That's why we're successful, because we have the truth on our side. We call it la vérité in French, the truth. So they have no defense to it. Yes, they've mentioned that I personally did this 13 years ago in 2002. I personally successfully canceled over 50 of credit card debt involving 7 cards, Visas, MasterCards, and Discover. I never had to go to court, and I've not had a problem with them since. So the system has continued to work for everyone to this day. Now, some people have asked me, well, soon there's going to be a global currency reset. I'm going to be a multimillionaire, so then I can just pay off the debts because they're so tiny compared to the wealth I will have. And my response is, do as you are guided. But as for myself, I still wouldn't pay them even if I were a multi-billionaire, just because of the ethics of it. Most people don't realize that when unsecured loans and credit lines are created under the old Federal Reserve System, nothing comes out of any bank account to fund your so-called loan. They just create it out of thin air and pretend that they will be harmed when you don't pay it back. That is fraud. So even if I were rich, I still would use the Liberty System to legally cancel the debt, because to pay them is to continue giving obeisance and support to the old corrupt fiat system, which is on its way out. I'd rather give that money to the generous and benevolent systems and technologies of the new paradigm.
You know, David, now, let me share something there that's really key.
Go ahead.
Is we think that because I have received a service or a product, when I use my credit card, that I, in the back of my mind, I have an obligation to pay that back. Well, the bank is going to get their money regardless of whether you pay them back or not. And the only thing that they're really losing is the interest that you are paying to them. And here's the thing, is it's like what you said, when they create money out of thin air, what they're doing also, you could technically say, they're counterfeiting money, because they're doubling that amount of money. They're creating more money that is out there in the system. That is what creates inflation. That's what is called the unimposed tax that is placed upon us, that Edward Griffin talks about in his book, you know, The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's a very debilitating and exhausting process. And by us eliminating these debts, we're reversing that creating trend. We're taking that money out of the system that returns us back to what is a true monetary system that's forcing them to loan what they have, which creates economic stability. As long as we continue to participate in this fraudulent lending system, all we're doing is hurting ourselves, our friends, our neighbors, and our families. By choosing to participate in something like this, we're helping to reverse the system. Now, that's how I see it. Is that correct? That's how I see it.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not just a case of you eliminating your debt and bringing a greater freedom to yourself. It's also an issue of us collectively stepping up, calling a spade, They're lying to us. They're dealing in a fraudulent manner. They're becoming extremely wealthy and power at the expense of us, and we have an ability to, as individuals, to step up and to reverse that process and to hold them accountable. Now, are there a lot of us? Well, it just depends on how many people want to choose to step into this. But the whole issue of this global economic currency collapse that is on its way and coming our way is created by this very system. And this is the system that is basically what I call an entrapment financial slavery system, where the extremely greedy and powerful become powerful at our expense because of our ignorance. And this is a way that is legal for us to step up and say, no more. And it's like what David had to say. The key is, you're not challenging the debt. You're challenging the fraud. And when he says you send the letters to them and you're asking them to address this, they won't do it. Because the minute that they answer your letter, they have basically opened themselves up to be taken to court. They have admitted the fact that I have been committing a fraudulent act and how I loan you this money. You now have a basis to bring a lawsuit against them that could unravel this whole system.
Not only a lawsuit, but for those who maybe are willing and able to do it, we could, if we wanted to, file criminal charges, because there are various types of felonies that they have committed. Now, I don't know of anyone who has actually done that, but we certainly could go after them that way if we wanted to. The point is, though, that you are actually helping the economy, believe it or not, by not paying them. So of all the good-hearted people out there listening, you've got to realize that I honor and support and agree with and, let's say, are like-minded and like-hearted with you in your desire to, you know, pay your fair share in society and so forth. But I've had a few friends who misunderstood this and thought, well, you're just not paying your fair share, you're trying to this and that. When you understand what's in books like The Creature from Jekyll Island, what's like books like a more sophisticated one, Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Mullen, and there are tons of other books and websites and seminars out there that teach what's going on out there. When you understand the truth of actually what's really going on in the financial system, you will clearly understand that one of the best things you can do for our economy is to first stop giving your money to the International Crime Syndicate. Stop supporting them. Withdraw your support. Then it will collapse on its own. But as long as people keep paying their tribute to it, it's going to go on and on and on. And they use that money against us.
Absolutely.
They used it to hire armies of attorneys to make up and fabricate all kinds of ridiculous, clever, slippery court systems to obfuscate the truth and to try to cover over their crimes by shifting the blame. And it's become the most the most unbelievably sophisticated crime system in the world. I also wanted to mention that it's a do-it-yourself program. Why? Some people have said, well, why don't you do it for me? Why don't you prepare the letters and send them for me? That would shift the system from a product to a service. As soon as you do that, it falls under different laws. And then we become responsible and liable, and we could easily be attacked by the cabal's minions. Okay? So if it's a do-it-yourself system, then all we're doing is sharing information, and then you accept the liability for yourself, and it therefore keeps us in business. We're able to continue helping people. I think you would like us to continue helping people. So you are going to take responsibility for yourself. You're going to take our information, and all you need is Microsoft Word on your computer, or there is a program that is similar, that is free. If you don't have Microsoft Word, which costs about $100, $150, there's one called OpenOffice. It's in our instructions, so you don't need to write this down right now, but I'm just letting you know prematurely that it's called Apache OpenOffice Freeware. And so that kind of software will operate Microsoft Word, and then you can customize these letters that we provide you. You put your name in them, your account numbers, the name of the institution. You just follow simple ABC instructions. It takes about a half an hour to an hour to customize one letter for one account. And if you have two accounts, five accounts, 10 accounts, there's no limit to how many accounts, how many debts, or how much money you wish to cancel, and you can use it for the rest of your life. So, no, there's no limit to how many debts you can cancel, how many accounts. You can use the same system. There's only one fee, one time, ever, and then you can use it for the rest of your life. You just need to operate a software that will allow you to customize the letter. Now, there are attorneys out there probably who in their hearts might like to help us, but if they have bar licenses, they are strapped by the system, and in order to stay in business and keep their licenses, they are bound and committed to serve the courts and to continue paying tribute to the courts and turning over the assets of their victims to the cabal. I would like to say on the air, if there are any attorneys out there or non-bar licensed lawyers who would like to help us, please come forward and let us know. We don't necessarily need any help at the moment as far as litigation, but if there were ever a challenge to us, it would be nice to have to be able to say we have a team of lawyers or a team of attorneys or legal experts on our team who are here to defend us. I am a member of Legal Shield, but I've told people, look, they're great attorneys, they're great lawyers, but they're useful for more ordinary things. They're not all that good when it comes to striking at the heart of the beast. They're afraid of that, and rightfully so, because the system has threatened them and has basically emasculated them, you might say. It's basically stopped them from effectively going against the cabal's institutions. But that's what we're doing, and we don't have any licenses to be removed. So we can be fearless about it. We can go against the heart of the beast. We can attack it right at the essence of it and not worry, because we're standing in the truth. There's nothing they can do. And if you join us in this by getting the system and canceling your own debts, you will have joined a worldwide movement that is helping to pave the way for a new paradigm and a new economy worldwide and a much better time for mankind.
Now, let's do this. If you're ready, let's kind of move into you. You talked about your 100% success rate, what that means, what that entails. And then we did also mention, and I mentioned this on the introductory in the newsletter, that there might be some cases for some people that they may not want to participate in this program because of some other outside extenuating circumstances. So let's discuss those. Tell us about when you say that you've had 100% success rate. What does that mean?
Okay, the success basically means in 100% of the cases that people have used the Liberty Debt Cancellation System, the debts have gone away sooner or later by using the system. The debt collection activities have gone away, have stopped, have come to an end. Their accounts have been closed. The collection efforts have stopped. They are free of the debts. What the cabal system behind the scenes has really done with the debt, who really knows? We believe that they've zeroed it out. They're not usually willing to admit that, especially in writing. Sharla is one of the exceptions, which we celebrate. Sometimes they slip up. They send out a statement showing it's been zeroed out, it's been deleted, or the balance is zero, and we posted those, shall we say, sanitized on our website with identifying information removed. But basically, there are what we call victory statements, statements that exceptionally come in rare situations, almost by accident, where they admit, and they don't mean to, they actually slipped up, I think.
Wow, your call just got dropped right in the middle of that statement, my friend. There might have been some people out there didn't like what you were saying. So, but
what was I saying?
I know. You were talking.
Okay, are we back on?
We're back on, and the last time that I heard you, you were talking about how sometimes they slip up and kind of give, you know, a victory statement like they did with in Charlie's case but in the most cases, they just don't do anything. Tell us a little bit more about what shows up on their credit reports when this type of a circumstance happens, so that people can know what to expect when the program works.
Okay, now we do not claim 100% success rate in protecting your credit. We do cannot and have not claimed that. I would say about 9 out of 10 of our people have their credit unblemished. Their credit score remains the same because you are sending copies of your dispute to the 3 credit bureaus at the same time that you're sending it to the pretender lender. And in 2015, we upgraded the system to have you send it to the president, the top management of the 3 credit reporting bureaus. And if you're highly concerned about maintaining your credit score, I would recommend sending it certified mail to the credit bureaus. We do have you sending it to the lending institution certified mail. Okay? So that places it on the record that it's a legitimate dispute, it's not a default, and usually they will just accommodate that and it'll go along. But in some cases, I've had about 10% of my people where, yeah, the debt eventually goes away, but they will show blemishes on the credit report. A lot of people don't care about that, but for those who do, just know that we are working on improving that and raising that as well to 100%. I have been told by a few people that there are various experts in credit repair who might be sympathetic to our cause and who understand the scam that the banks are running and would be willing to cooperate and work with us. I will also say to this audience, if you know of anyone who is really, really good with credit repair, knows how to deal with the credit bureaus, and who might be understanding what we're doing, please have them contact me, because we'd like to raise that 90% to 100% where the credit remains protected, because it should. There is no legitimate reason why an erroneous blemish should occur on your credit report when no legitimate loan was ever made, and therefore there is no loan to repay. And the lending institution has not proven that any loan was ever made. No money ever came out of their accounts. They're acting in fraud. We've caught them red-handed. They have no defense. They haven't answered. And therefore, how can they dare send a blemish on your credit to the credit bureaus? They should not, and this has to stop. So work with us.
Yeah.
If you have anybody who can help us with that, we'd welcome it.
Let me come back and ask this question. Because you made the statement that what showed up on Charlie's credit report is basically the exception and not the norm. So
right.
What would most of these people expect? Is it just that it shows up that all of a sudden the account just goes to zero and that's it and nothing else and they
right.
don't even tell you?
Right. Or it just shows dispute and there's no change in the credit. That's what happens for most people. It's just a dispute and it just stays in that status for some time and then they just take it off the report. But they don't lower your score because of it. And they don't show
yes.
the payments being late, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, all that, you know.
So it will probably just show up on your credit report that the account is in dispute, and that, but it doesn't create any damage to your credit score, and eventually it will just go away. And that is the norm of what happens most of the time. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I would assume if... you know, you basically, on a continual basis, kind of dog the credit reporting agencies that they'll eventually report it of what it truly is and that the account is closed. But that's interesting on that. You also, I mean, so what I've heard you say is if you are more concerned about your credit score than you are getting your debt totally wiped out, then you may not want to do this. But those
exactly.
are the those are the rare exceptions, not the norm. Now, let's bring up another issue that a couple people have mentioned, and this usually doesn't become a matter of what is out in the public. There are some occasions that the banks, behind the scenes, because they have secondary screens about when you apply for credit, there are secondary screens that don't come out to what is part of their systems, that they really take a look at what goes on, and they may potentially put you on a blacklist. Now, that is rare, but my understanding is it has happened on a few occasions. And if you are in a situation, now, David, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is how I understand it. If you are in a situation where you are truly wanting to get a real estate loan, you may want to wait until after you get that loan before you try this. Because if you do this, you may potentially, because in essence what you've done, you just take the bear and you just poked him in the eye, is what you've done. Now, out in the open, there's nothing the bear can do, because if the bear comes after you, you basically got them to take him to court to take the whole system down. But yet the bear can still be pissed off. And so behind the scenes, the bear may put you on what is called a secondary blacklist. And in a case of wanting to get a real estate loan, it may make it a little bit difficult, or you may have to pay in a higher interest rate. Now, am I correct on that? That's what I've heard.
Okay. What you're saying is that it may happen. That's the key word.
It
not necessarily will happen. Okay. I have only actually heard of it happening in one or two instances in the last 13 years. That doesn't mean that I'm informed of everybody's situations. It may have happened more than that. I've only heard of that happening in one or two instances, okay? However, it is entirely possible. So, yes, be aware of that risk. It's a risk. It's not necessarily a guaranteed consequence. If you cancel your debts, what Dave is saying is basically it might be more difficult in the future to get credit, even if your credit score has remained the same, because they might possibly blacklist you, but we don't know that to be a fact. And even if it is a fact, it may not happen to everybody. I've also noticed that there is, you've probably noticed this too, Dave, there's kind of a sea change taking place in the institutions themselves. It's certainly happening in the highest levels of finance around the world. It's happening in the government agencies. There is a polarization taking place between the dark and the light. And even within these big, monstrous institutions, there are those of the light, and there are those who are operating in darkness. And I have seen all kinds of crazy disparities between the same institution treating totally different customers differently using our system. Give you an example, Capital One, they're one big institution. I've had some people get a victory statement from Capital One. Others are being sued by Capital One on the same exact debt cancellation. So, now I mean they were sued before they came to me. In one case, the gentleman was sued. He came to me, he got our system. He then presented it to their opposing counsel, and they dismissed the case, and he never had to go to court.
If I'm hearing you then correctly, they are under the process of litigation, and they purchased your system, and it basically closed the court case. They backed off. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Wow.
But in other cases, Capital One has been sending rebuttals to our arguments, they haven't really ever addressed the points in our dispute directly. What they try to do is distract the correspondent by getting them off on other unrelated things. Well, you signed the original application. Well, there is, guess what, a law that says that if fraud was committed by one party, that nullifies the contract. Ab initio, that means from the beginning. So it doesn't matter what you signed. If they committed fraud, it was null and void from the beginning. But I'm just saying, they treat different people differently.
I think it's
kind of crazy.
I think the key on this, it comes down to the individual in these monstrous, huge financial institutions that employs hundreds of thousands of people. It comes down to the individual that's handling your case. And sometimes they can be people that are kind of quietly in the light, and they get it, and they're just going to take care of it. While you've got others that are just plain buttheads, and they're going to, you know, you poke the bear in the eye, and they're going to poke you back. And so,
right.
That could happen. But if you're willing to tolerate that, the bottom line is you're the one who's getting to be free. And sometimes freedom, some people have to work for it a little bit more than others. When, we don't know. It's kind of like, you know, when you walk into the post office, which teller are you going to get? You're going to get the one that's smiling, or about the one that's about ready to chew your head off, you know.
Okay,
you know,
let me define what the work is, Dave.
Yeah, right. You can't do anything about that. That's the person that's handling you, unless you want to go find someone else. But go ahead. Yeah.
What Dave means by work a little harder is you may have to, like washing your hair, you may have to rinse and repeat, which basically means sending the same dispute letter over and over and over and over again. You're not having to reinvent the wheel. We don't ask you to go up a learning curve. We don't ask you to study a tedious manual. You don't have to, you know, learn or study some big thing. All you have to do is take our documents, and if they send anything back but a resolution, all you do is just send it again. So over a period of some months, it could be 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, in some cases a year. That's what I think Dave means, is that you may, in some cases, just be prepared. If you get the system, you may have to be prepared mentally that it could take that long. It has for some of our people, and who knows what the explanation is. Some, it gets resolved quickly. Others, it just seems to take longer and longer. And it doesn't even seem to go by how much money is involved. I've seen people with large amounts of debt, so-called debt, get canceled quickly, and others with small debts drag out and on and on and on. So I don't know what the I think the only explanation is like what you said, Dave. It just depends on which clerk happens to open your correspondence that day and what mood they're in, you know?
Yeah, and that's key. Let's talk about the U.S. Supreme Court case that backs this up. Mention that. Tell us about that.
Well, you're talking about Throckmorton?
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's what backs us up. That's what gives us the legal status of why we can do this, and it's totally 100% legal. Go ahead and talk about
that. No, it's not the only law that we rely on. It's one of them.
Right.
But, yes, when Dave refers to the U.S. Supreme Court, we're talking about the judges. And, by the way, for those who know anything about law, even more powerful than a law is a court's interpretation of the law based on testing it in a court case. So when, and that's called precedent, court precedent. So when a court precedent has been set, especially by the Supreme Court, that is commanding, okay? And that's what we have here. And the quote is, fraud vitiates, it means it eliminates, the most solemn contracts, documents, and even judgments. And the cite on that is U.S. versus Throckmorton, 98 U.S. 61 at page 65. So it basically means that the pretender lender's fraud nullifies anything you may have ever signed in the way of a promise to pay.
Yeah. So what that means is when you take out a credit card loan, you sign a contract. But because they have loaned you the money under fraudulent manners and means, yet that contract is nullified and you are not obligated to pay it back, because they have committed fraud in the process of allowing you to have that credit card. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what makes this system basically a legal system. And what's really interesting, even Edward Griffin in his book, he says, not all fraud is necessarily illegal, but it's still by law classified as fraud. And, you know, we could get into some of the technicalities here, but basically that's what this is. They are operating a totally complete fraudulent system in which they are making their billions at the expense of us, the everyday people. And we are the ones that have the ability to step up and free ourselves from it. So, what are some of the other downsides that could possibly happen? We talked about there could possibly be a blacklist. There might be an occasion that it might create some headaches in your on your credit report. But what are some of the other downsides that you could see on that?
Forgive me, I can't think of any at the moment.
You know,
if you think of any, let me know.
Well, I couldn't either, because you see, I mean, let's talk about this. There was an email that came into me, and there was a lady that said that the law is that if you ever go through a debt cancellation, that the bank is going to have to issue you a 1099, and you have to pay taxes on the debt that has been eliminated. Now,
and you can answer that.
And yes, and let's talk about that. And it says, folks, that is not the case here, because the 1099 is being issued, and the difference is whether you are challenging the debt versus challenging the fraud. When the debt has been eliminated, in the case of challenging the debt, you basically are admitting, I have this debt. And then the bank, it says, okay, because you've admitted that you have the debt that we've written off, we now have, by law, have to send you a 1099 form that you have to pay taxes on. That does not apply here, because in this case, you're challenging the fraud. The 1099 is supplied to you by the bank, not the IRS. They send the 1099 to you, and then they send a copy to the IRS. I can tell you right now, folks, if a bank issues you a 1099 for this, their history, they have just openly admitted publicly to the whole world that they are committing a fraudulent act, and they have admitted the fraud openly in the public, and anybody now has a basis to take them to court and to blow their whole system away. I can tell you right now, they are not going to issue you a 1099 in this case. That is the worst mistake they would ever make in their institutional history. If they do, there was a clerk that made an absolute huge error, and believe me, we would love to find people to come together in a class action lawsuit and to take them to court, and they would have to then openly admit to the whole world, we have been committing fraud on you in all these years, and now all of a sudden, you've got a class action lawsuit from every credit card holder in the United States of America that every one of them could be written off. That is the end result that would take this through a step-by-step process if the bank ends up sending you a 1099. Believe me, folks, they are not going to do it in this case. And the difference is because you're not addressing the debt, you're addressing the fraud. And that's the basis of which why they're going to close your account. Okay, Charla, are you there?
I'm back here. Yes,
okay.
Me
all right.
Too.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about your story, and then I'm going to try to get David back on the air. So I'm going to take my stuff off the air, and then you can go ahead and tell the story. I'm going to let you take this over for a couple minutes, okay?
All righty. I'll do
okay.
That.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, guys, this is Charla, and I'm the one that instigated this whole thing, I guess, with, I had been praying for a couple of years, supernatural debt cancellation. I had a number on my closet door scratched through that said supernatural debt cancellation. I've been praying that just a couple of years, and my church has an amazing declaration that they speak when they do offerings, and part of it is, you know, jobs and better jobs and raises and promotions, and supernatural debt cancellation is part of that. Been praying that for a long time. Dave and I were in Seattle at his workshop up there, and there was someone that just, at the very end of the day, I said, well, you know, we're cleaning up, and he was around, and I said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, I do debt cancellation and financial services. And I was like, So I took his card. I lost his card. I found it in the end of last year, and I felt very compelled that I prayed and prayed and I over it, and I researched, and I really just wanted to get this debt that became, I've never believed in having it, and all of a sudden I have all this debt. So, you know, situations happen, and many of us got into them, and some at the hands of the whole system anyway, like 2008 and all of that. Well, I contacted David Fairmont, and I talked to him. He had given me his business card, which I refound, and I was like, this is exactly what I need to do. What I want to add is that
okay,
Charla,
we're back.
Excuse me?
We're back, but if you're in the middle of telling your story, go ahead and finish it.
Okay, thank you. Well, I went ahead in January and decided to do the system. Dave was not for it at all when I mentioned it to him. He didn't think that it was right, and so it's taken him a few months. And, Dave, you know, we'll just laugh about this, but I always say yes and look for how it can work, and you say no and then look for how you can make it work later. So we're in this, you know, so, and that was the case about this and some, you know, even other things. So, but I literally felt like it was an answer to my prayer. And I did it. I worked through it. And I've done it month after month, just resending basically the same letters. And I'm grateful for David to have adjusted the system to where now we're sending it to different people than I was sending it to. It's a blessing beyond belief. I have to just suggest and or add as well that, it was close to $23,000 that I was able to take care of in what I think is the fraudulent system. In the last 2 or 3 weeks since the YES conferences, I want to just say that if you are looking for funding with the ambassador, he is not really on board with all this. And I just want to... So I have a Q&A that I created on charlaa.com under Charla's Choices that I add a little bit about that. So you might take a look at the Q&A, and I'm updating the version of it, so it's not even on there yet, so wait till tomorrow. But it works, it's fabulous. And it is, like you said in the very beginning, it isn't for everyone. And people that may want, that need to come back, I just want to make sure that you are considering and being really discerning. And I'm very grateful for this program because it's changed my life. And I believe Jubilee is coming as well in another way from the family. So it may be... You choose your discernment in all this. And the trust side of things, which I think is phenomenal, and they also, because the trust is another way, and then also the I do want to ask a question about the student loan, because that changed from when I first did it to where we are now. So I'll let it back to you. And thank you, David. I really am grateful. And I will acknowledge and want you to mention the affiliate program as well.
Right. And also, you know, we had a great extensive conversation with the ambassador within the last week about what is called the Jubilee that the family is releasing. But it's extremely important to you know that how they are defining Jubilee is not how a lot of others define it. Don't expect the family to step up and just wipe out your debt and the world debt. That is not how they define Jubilee. Now, we will get into that later. I will talk about that on the ambassador when I have him on the program next week. But their form of Jubilee is a very quiet Jubilee, and it's a process and a system that's going to take a total of 15 years before it becomes fully implemented. What they're doing is they are going to step up and help to really totally, completely restructure the global financial system. But this is a step-by-step process that's going to take 15 years before it's fully implemented. When the ambassador says the family's doing Jubilee, don't go thinking in the back of your mind it means they're going to step in and wipe out all the world debt and that your debt's going to get totally eliminated. That is not how they are defining Jubilee, just so that you know that. Now, David, I was talking about the 1099 when you went off the air. I don't know how much of that you heard. Is there any comments that you would want to make on that?
Yes, basically just to agree with you. So what Dave was saying was basically that if some people have asked if your debt gets canceled, would the IRS consider that income on which you can be taxed? And the simple answer is no. So Dave already made a good explanation of that.
Right.
But I think in the remaining time here, we could talk about the trust, we could talk about the affiliate program, and some other things.
We could talk about the affiliate program, but there's a couple questions that I know some people have emailed in, and let's just address a few of those. It'll probably only take a couple minutes to do that.
Okay.
There's one lady that just said, can you use a credit card to pay for the Liberty Debt Elimination Program? And I said, absolutely you can, because you're going to get paid. It's going to be taken care of. Anything else that you would want to add to that?
Yes. There is absolutely no reason why we, the people who are the producers of the goods and services and the values and the credits in this society, should have any, there's no reason why we should not have use of the credit distribution system, even if it is being abused at the top, okay? And that abuse is all that we are attacking. We're not attacking the distribution of credits and its use in everyday commerce. So, yes, we accept all the usual cards, Diners Club, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and so on. We even have Bitcoin. We have solid trust pay. You know, there's a menu of ways that we can, you know, and the old-fashioned check through the mail. So all of those methods work for paying for it, and there's nothing illegal or unethical about operating that way.
Yeah, and this is a really another common question, is people says, well, if I get rid of all of my credit cards, what am I going to do about having a credit card? And what I said is, it's back to what happened to me when I had to file bankruptcy and I lost all my credit cards. For 5 years, I lived on using my debit card. That still allowed me to do all kinds of financial transactions online. I could do anything that a credit card could do because I was using a Visa-based debit card system. It's just that I was operating in cash using a debit card. And then the other thing is, and this is common, is, well, if you still want to have a credit card, let's say you have 4 credit cards. Well, pick which one you want to keep and then only cancel 3 of them. See, only cancel the ones you want to get rid of. If you still want to keep a credit card, then keep that one. And you, some of you may have a credit card that may have, you know, a $5,000 cash limit on it. You could use that, pay it totally off, and then that $5,000 credit line is there in what I call in case of an emergency. If you ever had a situation where you needed a, you know, an infusion of emergency cash, you would have still a credit card, a credit line base. You don't have to do all of them. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. So, okay. Now, then there was another, and I'm trying to find, here's the one that was interesting. He says, a question for listeners on the debt elimination program is, can a C corporation or even an LLC be able to eliminate their unsecured line of credit? It's like a business line is a revolving line of credit, exactly like a credit card. And so can I eliminate my business lines of credit as well? So does this apply to businesses as well as to individuals?
That's a good question, and the answer is yes, because it's basically the same principle.
Right.
As long as it's drawn on a United States financial institution, it qualifies to be canceled just the same as if it were in the name of an individual. So, yes.
Yeah, those were the primary questions, and that is a good question, is that you could also, because you're not, it's not who is being eliminated. It's what you're eliminating and who you're challenging in doing that. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about the affiliate program. Tell us what you have in the affiliate program, how this works, and how people can even make some extra cash on this.
Well, first of all, just be willing to help others, you know. Have some compassion on your neighbors and your friends and family who also are drowning in debt and are under the burden of unnecessary and fraudulent credit card and unsecured debt. So if that's the case and you'd like some extra income for helping them, sign up as an affiliate. You would again go to Dave's website and click on his link to take you to our section of the internet, which is where you'll find the debt cancellation program. And then you'll actually be working with Dave, and it's a two-level system. The reason I say you're working with Dave is because it's being two levels generates an override to the one who referred that affiliate. So, like if I were an affiliate and I bring in Dave, I would get an override on everything Dave does. Likewise, if Dave brings you in and you generate business, he will get an override. And the same for you. If you introduce a friend of yours who wants to be an affiliate, and that friend goes out and brings in a lot of customers, you would get an override on everything they do. And, of course, the larger amount of income is directly paid to you, $103 for each debt cancellation, a product that is bought by any of your referrals, and then $250 for each trust purchase that you have referred. So
yeah.
That can be some very nice income for you for helping others to defeat debts and taxes.
Let me just explain that. So, folks, if you sign up and you purchase the debt elimination program and you come in through me, yes, I get $103. And then let's say you go out and get somebody to sign up underneath you. You would get their $103, and then I will get $27 because it goes two steps down is what it does. It pays two steps down, but when you pay that $450, what David is doing, he's allowing you to receive, in essence, the commissions two layers down for bringing the people in. And so it really is a system that you can help others, and we've talked about what it does in helping the whole financial system in our global financial economy that we have that's falling apart. Not only can you help the system, but you can also help yourself and others as well. So anything else on that, David, that you want to mention about the affiliate program?
I think we can keep it short and sweet and just say that much and just know that you can earn money by helping others by referring them to, of course, you get the full suite of tools. You get banners, you get code and agent-encoded URL, you know, all of that.
Right.
Will come with
yeah.
it, and it's expanding, and it's becoming more robust with every month that passes. So you'll have a great team of support and, websites to use and so forth.
It's whatever you want to do. If you have a great, you know, Facebook page with a lot of friends on there, you know, and remember what you can do, folks. You can refer them back to this radio program, and this will be a two-hour program. And remember, you can always go back to my website. You can click on the archives tab of this program tonight. It will bring up that newsletter, and there will be the link to the Blog Talk radio program. And so if people have lots of questions and they're not quite certain about what it is and how it works, then have them listen to this radio program. This program will be archived. It'll be there as long as I'm around, and it will answer a lot of their questions. And it can answer a lot of your questions as well. So if they're not quite certain, because, it's kind of like in the very beginning, this sounds like it's a little too good to be true. And that's why when Charla kind of first presented it to me, I kind of brushed it off a little bit. But then when I saw what it did for her, I realized, wait a minute. I just kind of quickly brushed that off. I didn't think it was possible. I had made a judgment I should not have made. Let me come back and take another look at this. And when I did, I began to realize, wow, this is for real. This is truly for real, and it's a way that we can really help each other, get us out of this drowning debt, and really begin to empower each other. Now, David, let's make the move over now to what is called your common law trust program. Tell us a little bit about how that works and what's involved.
Well, more and more people today know that a worldwide financial reset is imminent, and as such, you may have wondered if the LLC, the foundation, the corporation, an offshore trust, statutory trust, whatever, that you set up would be made extinct or redundant after the restoration of common law has been made widely known and similar changes occur in governments around the world. And by the way, of course, this part of the conversation is most relevant for those outside the United States and everywhere in the world because this trust is set up and operated anywhere in the United States and countries all over the world. Well, there is a centuries-old, time-tested asset protection instrument that I have been using since 1993, and I consider it to be ideal because it will continue to be valid even after a golden age has dawned worldwide. The benefits of this instrument, which is the pure common law, sovereign, irrevocable trust, the best written in the world, include things like protecting your assets 100%, protection from creditors, protection from liability suits, protection from malpractice suits, protection from employees, protection from personal bankruptcy, protection from excessive divorce settlements, avoids probate, avoids inheritance tax, avoids estate taxes, avoids court actions, eliminates attorney's fees, eliminates or reduces accountant fees, eliminates executor's fees, eliminates income taxes, frees tax dollars for capital appreciation, provides complete control over your assets through the trustees, there's no public record, ownership and title can be passed to heirs in complete secrecy, it has a long life, it can be renewed every 25 years perpetually, heirs cannot change, challenge, or contest any wishes at your death, it's easy to maintain, very inexpensive, and there are other benefits as well. So that's a brief summary. You have to understand two types of law. The statutory law has come to be known as admiralty law or maritime law, which is in force in the cabal's systems, governments, banks, courts today, and they have their army of attorneys too. And the problem with those is that in Congress I heard that there is no less than 3 million law books. There are millions more laws. There are 3 million law books just in the Library of Congress alone. Those laws keep on changing every year. There's no way any human being could possibly know all of the laws out there. There are so many of them. And these statutory laws are usually written and legislated for the benefit of some vested interest, special interest groups. Whereas common law is universal. It derives originally from, you know, natural law. Basically, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't harm another living being. And you can do anything you want as long as you don't do that, as long as you don't violate the rights of others. And that's been around not only on this planet, but throughout the universe forever, and will be around forever. So common law, as it's used in commerce and in the courts, is basically the human testing of those basic principles. And guess what? The elite, the super rich, use their instruments based on that law. They create the Vatican, the Federal Reserve, the IMF, the World Bank. They create their legal entities based on these same principles. Sometimes it's called kingdom law, canon law, you know, they have other names for it, but basically it is the right to enter into contract with each other without infringing on anyone else. And the government has no right to infringe on your ability to do that. There is a famous U.S. Supreme Court case that supports that called Hale versus Hinkle. It's from 1905. It is the most quoted court case in history, and it has never been overturned. And it basically said that Americans have the unlimited right to enter into contract with each other without being prevented or interfered with by the government. And that same principle is pretty much the case throughout the world in all countries. So if you enter into a contract with someone else whereby you ask that person to hold assets on your behalf but allow you to continue to express your wishes for the use of those assets and have that friendly party agree to honor your wishes, that is called a trust. That is the simplest definition of a trust, a pure trust. And what it does is it removes ownership but allows you to have a kind of control. It's the kind of control that is based in ethics and based in friendship rather than in enforcement from the government. So that's what the super rich do. They don't own anything, but they control things. And their control is through gentlemen's agreement, you might say, letters of wishes, and so forth. Now, there are two different ways that you can play a role with your trust, the way we set them up. Either you can be the trustee, but if you are, you're going to need to go up a learning curve because that is a serious responsibility. You need to know what you're doing. The simpler way and the easier way, which most people do, is you are the creator, the beneficiary, and the manager. You wear three different hats, and you end up with the same control over your assets, practical control, but you have separated the legal ownership to the trustees. And the trustees, you choose based on your preferences for who you would like to have that role, but you then operate the trust on an everyday basis, operate the bank account, sign on it, sign the checks, you know, do everything you used to do in your personal name or in the name of an LLC or whatever kind of way you've done your banking and commerce in the past, you now do in the name of the trust, and guess what? It is exempt. It has no filing requirements with any tax agency anywhere in the world. So not only is it exempt from paying income tax, it is exempt from filing and reporting income tax for at least two very good reasons. One, because the monies that come into it are not considered income because it's being held on behalf of the beneficiaries for future distribution. Secondly, it is not subject to statutory law. It is subject only to the common law. Okay? So those are the two basic reasons for its exemption. It has infinitely greater benefits than any statutory entity because it can go on and on and on and on, and it does not have the requirement or the obligation to comply with the millions and millions and millions of ever-changing statutes and all the red tape and bureaucracy that goes with it. It therefore does not require the CPAs and the lawyers and the paralegals to keep up with all of that, and therefore, actually, it ends up being very inexpensive over time because it does not have the need for all of that professional management. It's simple. It's written at the high school education level. Anyone with a high school education can understand it. You don't need to hire lawyers or other experts in trusts to understand it. You can manage it yourself. And it's written politely. This is not, Dave, you know, you've probably run into some people in this field who are really, on the warpath against the corruption and the cabal and the government and all that. And I've seen a lot of these trusts that were written, especially back in the 90s, with a lot of powerful anti-government language in them. You know, we have our constitutional rights and you back off, Mr. Fed, and all that. Well, you walk that into a bank and they're not going to have anything to do with it. Our trusts, by contrast, are just as bulletproof, but they are politely written. They're courteously written. They're written in very nice, plain English, in a just straightforward, plain style that puts a smile on the face of anybody who reads it. They're not going to suspect that this is some sort of anti-government instrument. Okay? So, we bank with them, we do commerce with them, they protect our assets, and they organize your affairs with the best estate planning tool out there. It can be infinitely flexible, it can be a scientific institute, it can be a religious organization, it can be a family holding trust, it can be a foundation that makes grants or receives grants. It can be just a holding company, it can be a business. It can be a spiritual organization. It can be anything you want it to be as long as it's conducting its affairs ethically in contribution to the good of humanity. So I can go on. There are lots and lots of benefits of it. I would like to open it up to see what comments and questions you may have.
Yeah, you know, what's surprising me is that we haven't had that many people actually calling in. In fact, some people have called in. But the questions have been answered kind of as we've gone along. But, folks, if you've got some questions, we've got about 17 minutes left here in the program. The number is 347-850-1424. Again, the number is 347-850-1424. And then press 1. That lets us know that you want to come on, you got a comment, or you got a question. Charla will come on, and she will screen you there. But we did have a number of people, but they've just kind of dropped off along the way because it appears, you know, we've been answering the questions as we've gone along. I think the key on the trust, David, is to recognize the fact that this is what the extremely wealthy do. This is why you've got somebody who is making millions and millions of dollars a year, they're multimillionaires, and they don't pay hardly anything in taxes because they understand this law and they take advantage of it. The key is you own nothing but control everything. And so by allowing the trust to own everything, you still have absolute control over it, the trust is not obligated to pay taxes on any of that stuff that comes in. And that is how you can basically really totally reduce your whole tax bill, even down to nothing, if that's something you want to choose to do. Any other kind of maybe general comments? I think a lot of it is people, they can go to your website. You go to my website, thesedonaconnection.com, and then you can click on the links that takes it into David's website, and you can look at either the debt elimination program or you can look at the trust for what is there. Tell us a little bit about the cost, why this does cost a little bit more, and what's involved in that.
Oh, okay. Well, $2,500, US dollars, is actually a bargain for this kind of thing. If you know anything about the asset protection field, good trusts can go anywhere from $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, and more. But the problem with most of them is either they're statutory and they require the hiring of CPAs and lawyers to have ongoing consultation, creation of documents, maintenance, additional fees, filing fees, even government registration fees, and so forth. And even in the common law trust field, which I have to say, the ones I've seen out there are, other than ours, which are called House of Freedom, are rather inferior because they either don't protect the assets the way they should, they're not written properly, or in a few cases, they're written fairly well, but they're overly complicated with way too many pages and way too much language, and the language is like stuffing. It's too verbose. They use 10 times too many words to say the same thing, and therefore it confuses people, and so they end up having to hire these trust professionals to interpret and to write additional documents. We don't have any of that. As I said before, it's written so simply, you can manage it yourself. So actually, the $2,500 is a bargain. It's a drop in the ocean. It's a one-time fee. There's never any more fees. There's no more fees to us. There's no more fees to have to hire any professionals to manage it. And it's really going to be a savings when you consider all the other alternatives for asset protection instruments and legal entities. You can do business directly from the trust, or if you have a LLC and you really like LLCs and your bank is used to you're doing business as an LLC or a corporation, whatever, if you're used to using that but you want the tax benefits, what you can do is get one of these trusts, and the trust can own 98% of the shares in the corporation or the LLC. And that way, the LLC will still file its tax returns, but it will owe very little, and the trust, which is exempt, will not have any requirement to file or to pay. I personally, though, don't have a need for a corporation or an LLC. I've found that I can do business directly from the trust. If you wish, as your assets grow, you can get multiple trusts and stack and layer them so that one trust owns the assets of another and so forth and so on. That gets into asset protection engineering, and we can provide that as well.
Okay.
We also have expertise with offshore, IBCs, you know, any arrangements anywhere in the world, banking and so forth, our people can assist with.
Okay. Well, all of a sudden we're getting a lot of people calling in, so let's try to do this. But first of all, I got a couple really quick questions that have come in
okay.
in the emails. One person, he asked, you know, does this work with basically loans and mortgages? And we basically had already covered that, and we said no, because a mortgage is something that is secured by the asset of your home. It only works with unsecured debt, not secured debt, where there is a title to your home, a title to your car, a title to your boat, or something like that, that they can come and attach. And then the one question that we didn't cover is about student loans. Now, tell us about how this works with student loans.
Okay. Well, student loans, they are also unsecured loans. They're signature loans. If they're issued by an institution in the United States, they qualify to be canceled, and you can use the Liberty system to cancel them. The difference, though, and I warn people, as you will see in our frequently asked questions, they do not fall under the same consumer protection laws that credit cards and other unsecured loans do. because they are backed either partly or wholly by the government, they tend to play a little more hardball when it comes to forcing people to pay them back. I will just say you should be able to cancel them using our system, but if you're going to use the Liberty system to try to cancel a student loan, please be mentally prepared that you should do this at your own risk and know that you might possibly have to litigate. Okay? So if you're going to use this on student loans, be mentally prepared that sometime might come in the next 6 months, next year, sometime when they will sue you or when you may need to sue them. And you can use the Liberty documents as the centerpiece of the lawsuit. But I'm just saying, if you wish to absolutely avoid going to court, then don't try to use the Liberty system to cancel a student loan, because it's a little bit more of a hardball game that they play with those.
Yeah. So to summarize what you said, yes, a student loan is an unsecured debt. It's not necessarily protected by the same consumer protection laws, and there is a chance that you may have to litigate on the student loan issue. But in the end, you should still win, the same as you do as any other unsecured debt. But basically, it means you're probably going to have to step up and play hardball with this and be more patient with it. But I can tell you, there's some people out there that I know, some friends that have $80,000, $100,000 in student loans, and I think they'd be willing to do that in a heartbeat, knowing it'll take a little longer.
I will also add that at no extra charge, I do provide information resources. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an attorney. I do not give legal advice, and I do not represent you in court. However, I do have a rich library of powerful information resources that can help you win a victory in court should you have to go to court.
Okay. We've got about four people that have called in, and we want to try to get through them quickly. So we're going to go to the first person. His name is Lynn. He's from Southern California. Lynn, you're on the air. What can we help you with? And we can spend about a minute and a half with you.
Hi there, guys. Question is, I have on my credit report an amount that went south and then was paid off by an agreement. And I don't really think I care that much about my credit report, but I may need to know this at some point. Is it possible to challenge that and get it off there?
Okay. Yes, but you would have to sue them. Okay? So anything that's already happened like that, it's been paid off, it's finished, it's done, or in cases where people have had judgments issued against them, you can use the Liberty system as the centerpiece of your lawsuit, and you may win. I say may win. You should win. Actually, it ought to win because they have no defense to it, but what they do have, as you know, everybody knows, that bankers have what I call corrupt cleverness. Their lawyers... I have to share this. The joke about why attorneys are buried 12 feet deep when they die instead of the usual 6 feet like most people.
Yeah.
Okay. Because deep down they really are good people. I mean, lawyers and so on are infamous for being corrupt and being clever at their corruption. Okay. And so what they use is what I call slippery court procedure tricks to get around having to answer what's in the Liberty documents. So you can get the Liberty documents and you can file a lawsuit, but if they use a slippery court procedure, they can avoid having to answer and get out of the case. Okay? So what you would have to do is you would have to have access to the intelligence to know how to master court procedure to force them, absolutely force them, to answer. If they are forced to answer what's in the Liberty documents, you will win because they cannot answer it.
Okay, David, we got to wrap this up.
Undefeatable.
Okay, because we got to get to everybody else. Now, Lynn, do you have any other questions?
I do, and I think it's a quickie.
A few years
ago, I bought a car in the name of an LLC, and a few years later, our insurance company tried to cancel our insurance policy because it was in the name of an LLC, and I think insurance policy may have been the name of an individual, but what I'm wondering is if we put something like a vehicle in an unincorporated business trust organization does that threaten the auto insurance?
No. I have my vehicle in a trust, and the insurance operates exactly the same as if it were in my personal name.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to leave
it
at that.
Thank you.
We got to keep going. Okay. Thanks. All right. Okay. We're going to go to the next caller. His name is Connor. He's from the Los Angeles area. Connor, you're on the air. What can we help you with?
Hi, Dave. My question is about the common law trust. Can you put multiple LLCs into the trust?
Yes. A trust can contain as many assets as you want. Now, there is a kind of rule in asset protection that you don't have to follow if you don't want to, but it's recommended, and that is never put all your eggs in one basket. So the more assets you have and the more money you have, and the more it's recommended to have multiple trusts. Just so in case anything should happen to one trust, all of your assets are not at risk. But yes, you can put as many different assets from as many different sources as you wish.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Probably better
to have multiple trusts, yeah.
Right.
And David, if I understand you right, you only have to purchase your Liberty Trust system once, and you can create multiple trusts with those documents. Is that correct?
No.
No,
if you have a need for additional trusts, they have to be individually written by our team, okay?
Okay. Right.
We do offer a discount. The first trust is $2,500, and the second and third trust and so forth are $2,050. No, they do have to be written and customized because each trust will have its own trust officers, its own administration, its own activities. So there is still similar work that has to go into creating it, and our team are remaining available for additional consultation on a pretty much ongoing, unlimited basis for helping you to operate the trust over time, and that costs money. You have the right for years and years and years and years to come to consult us. You know, and while I have a question about this trust that I set up a year ago, you know, and we're there for you. So that's what that fee covers.
I'm going to summarize. We need to move on. I don't mean to cut you off, but in essence, you're saying you do have to purchase each trust that you want to create. Connor, any other quick questions?
This quick question about the debt elimination. I did get that about a month ago, going through the first round of letters. Have one card that it's currently a Capital One card, and it was previously owned by the GM Chase, and then Capital One purchased it. Does it matter, you know, do you still send the letters to the current CFO, the company that bank that has the current debt, I guess?
That's a very good question, and it's a question many people ask, and no, it does not matter. Whoever is the current owner of the debt is the one you send the dispute system to. I mean, fraud is fraud. It's null and void from the beginning. Doesn't matter who owns it presently. They own something that really is fraudulent, and the only benefit to them is that people are dumb enough to continue paying them. But no, it doesn't matter. Whoever currently owns it and is trying to collect on it is the one that you address.
Okay, I'm going to end that there because we got one
Thank
more caller, and I only got 2 minutes left. Okay, we're going to go to an individual by the name of Larry. He's from California. Larry, you're on the air. What can we help you with?
Okay, I just wanted to make a quick comment. Wow, that's a great price at $2,500 for a trust. I've had numerous corporations and LLCs over the years for the many different entities that I've had, and you can spend that per year on those entities just in attorney's fees and in CPA fees. So,
yes,
you know,
sir. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to attest to that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Larry. All right. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you very kindly.
I don't mean to cut people short, but we're about ready to be cut off the air. And I always try to make sure we get to everybody. And all of a sudden, we had a whole bunch of callers calling when I said that. But we've got a minute and a half left, David. Summarize, what is it that you would like to say in the last minute?
Send your questions in by email. Wouldn't you say that, Dave? Anyone who didn't get their questions answered?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so you can send them to either Dave or go on our website that you have linked on Dave's website, the SedonaConnection.com, and click on the Liberty Debt Cancellation and Trust Systems, and then we have a help desk ticket system through which you can submit. But please, first read the frequently asked questions. Most of your questions will be answered already in there. If you would be so kind, please read that, both on the debt cancellation and on the trust, and then only send us a question if it's not already answered there.
Great.
But thank you. Thank you very kindly. It's been a fantastic audience.
Oh, and
it's been a
great,
great joy.
Yes, it's been great having you on the air. I think, folks, this is something that you can begin to see how beneficial this is for us. We tried to cover all the downsides. They're basically very minimal. There's so much positive for you to do this. We're here to help. We're here to assist. We're here to see you be free. We're here to see you free yourself from really this slavery debt system that has been placed upon us by this basically what I call the corporate cabal system. David Fairmont, thank you so much for being a part of the program tonight. Folks, you can go to my website, thesedonaconnection.com, and there you can sign up for the program. You could take it to his website. You can read through it. You can get introduced to it. Thanks a lot, folks, and we will see you then next week. Okay, thanks a lot, folks. Bye-bye.